Trevor, what two words would you use to describe the film Baby Geniuses?
Diaper gravy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Old Kids Movies here on the Old Kids Movies. I'm AJ Beltis. I'm here. We haven't done this in a month and a half, if you can't tell, but I'm AJ Beltis. I'm here, as always, with Trevor Howell. Trevor, what's up, dude?
I'm the sly to your wit, or the wit to your sly.
I'll take either, man, as long as I'm not Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, exactly, or Christopher Lloyd. For the, 10 of you that have seen this movie, the diaper gravy line is actually a line in the movie, so.
And they say it four times.
I don't even remember, but I remember the first time they say it. I don't remember.
He says it twice. One other character says it a third time, and then when the dog is about to attack him, he sniffs Sly and
mouths
the subtitle diaper gravy.
Yeah, because they can talk to dogs. It's like Rugrats.
So you think only 10 people have seen this movie?
I probably more than that, obviously, but I can't imagine who would do this by choice now.
Well, I mean now, but is this the first time you've seen this movie?
This is the first time I've seen this movie all the way through. I have seen the sequel before.
Yeah, I've heard it's worse.
It's worse. Oh, it's, I think, definitely worse, but this one was different types of bad. I think Bob Clark has the most confusing career ever.
Yeah, the man who made A Christmas Story directed this film.
And Black Christmas.
Did you like Black Christmas?
I never saw Black Christmas.
I didn't like Black Christmas. I saw two versions. Porky's. Did you like Porky's?
I also have not seen Porky's.
Neither have I. Anyways, Trevor, I haven't spoken to you in a month and a half. I've spoken to you. How are you?
Yeah, for those of you who were listening, we haven't gone anywhere. But for me, AJ has been gone for a month and a half in Australia and New Zealand and other places. I know you probably have many, many stories to tell us about New Zealand and Australia, but if you have one specific thing that you'd like to share that you've done...
I will keep it brief because this is not the forum, but I will just say, especially if you saw it on Instagram, Hobbiton was one of the best moments in my life. Just being in Bag End in the Shire and just having a pint of the Green Dragon was 10 out of 10 experience. Also went to go see some other filming locations like...
I said one!
Fine.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
But the scene, I said I was going to try to go to it, and I did end up finding the scene where Frodo paddles away and Sam chases after him, where Sean Astin cut his foot. I did see that filming location as well as a few others. If you're curious, hit me up.
Very, very cool.
So what did you do for a month and a half? Well, a month. I mean, we haven't recorded in a month and a half. I've seen you. I was only gone a month.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I moved, so that was something. Mm-hmm. We just moved apartments in our building, and this literally happened like the month and a half you were gone. That's when we found out there was a place opening and we decided to jump on it, and then we actually moved. It was like a 2-week period, and so it was really, really fast, really quick, and we just jumped on it. It's just a bigger place. We're basically moved in and everything, got a new tattoo, so that was fine. Not much else has happened. I've just been more of the same for me aside from moving, which was a big thing.
Well, that sounds like a great new living location. Congrats on the new gig.
Yay.
Not gig. Dig. The new dig. Is that what they say? Like new digs? Is that what the kids say? Yeah, new digs. Congrats on the new digs.
Well, I don't know if that's what they say.
So maybe geniuses. We shouldn't postpone talking about this. I mean, I would say like 90% of the movies that we talk about on this show, either you really love it, I really love it, or we both really love it. Very rarely do I think one or both of us say, let's just take one that neither of us has any enjoyment for whatsoever and just tear it to shreds. And here we are. This is the 2 days ago, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, was the 25th anniversary of Baby Geniuses. Came out in theaters March 12th, 1999. So I wanted to get a good anniversary in for this one because this movie did not do that well at the box office. But its reputation did not die there. It is very comfortably in the IMDb bottom 100 movies of all time.
Very comfortably.
It has a 2.6 on IMDb. It has a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes with a 25% audience score. Baby Geniuses is often considered to be one of the worst, if not the worst, movies ever made in film history. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a little harsh. I don't think this is a good movie. I'm not, don't worry. I'm not here to defend, say that this is like a secret masterpiece or, you know, if you look at it through this eye, it's actually kind of enjoyable. I'm very firmly on in the camp that Baby Geniuses is not a good movie. But I saw some things in here that, yes, made me cringe, made me frustrated that I was watching. But I also saw some things in this movie that I was like, it's not the worst movie ever made.
It's certainly
and it might
not,
just be me.
No. It's not the worst movie ever made. It's certainly, as this review, one of the popular reviews on this, really, 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 like 100 more times he says really, really not good. Half a star.
Yeah. I mean, but again, like, I don't think this is a half star movie. I don't think that this is, I don't know. I know I'm kind of like jumping ahead, but I guess it would help a little bit with my context, my background. So I had seen clips of this movie on TV before, and I ended up buying the DVD when I was a kid. I would say probably when I was 8-ish at the Walpole Stop and Shop back when they sold DVDs. They might, you know, how like grocery stores sell DVDs for some reason. So I just picked it up at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And like, I watched it probably like 3 or 4 times over the course of 2 years. Now, obviously when I turned like 10, I was like, I probably shouldn't be watching this movie anymore, and started realizing that it wasn't a great movie. But there was a time in my life where I kind of liked this movie, and there were jokes that I laughed at, and there were things that I thought were weird and confusing and uncanny, and that's another reason why I think I stopped watching it. But this was in my life for a period of time, and I feel like if we're talking about all these old kids movies, this movie is so infamous, and I just had an experience with it that I feel like I shouldn't not talk about it on this show at some point.
Right. Yeah. I think we're definitely going to have to cover this. It's iconic. I remember seeing tons of trailers on TV, or little like TV spots, because they would air this a bunch on TV, probably like ABC or some terrible time slot, terrible time to watch them. I just remember watching some parts of it on TV and never really enjoying it, but I did see the sequel. I think something that's very immediately remembering is the baby's talking and how uncanny it looks. And the computer generation that they use does not look good and therefore doesn't work, because that's the whole crux of the movie. That's the entire plot, is babies can communicate with each other while you're under the age of 2 or something. I mean, there's so many things about this movie that just, you scratch your head. Like, well, that's not how that works. Even if that is how that works, that doesn't make sense. Just lots of questions. I think this movie generates more questions as the movie goes on rather than answer some of the more mysterious stuff. And it goes out of its way to explain things, like, in depth over and over. And more questions just get generated from that explanation. So I think some of... I don't even remember like seeing Christopher Lloyd in this or Kathleen Turner or whatever. I just remember seeing the babies acting bizarre and it looking weird and awful.
I feel like that's what most people remember from it. And obviously, yes, when I thought of Christopher Lloyd at a certain age, like I hadn't seen Back to the Future at that point, but I knew who he was. Like, I knew who Christopher Lloyd was. I have the idea of like the crazy hair that you would see him in like Dennis the Menace or Back to the Future, and he was unrecognizable to me in this role. He also was like barely in the movie. But Kathleen Turner, I remember when I watched Monster House and I saw her name in the credits, I'm like, oh, this is the girl from Baby Geniuses. Like, this movie had like a thing for me for a while.
I thought about Sam McMurray, the, you know, the guy that was in Freaks and Geeks and The Wizard, I think, and the one episode of Breaking Bad.
He was like also in... Yeah, he was also in, shoot, I just had it too.
Something That We Saw?
Friend. Oh yeah, he was Rachel's boss in Friends. I remember we did talk about him.
Okay, yeah. Well, just like I saw him and I'm like, hey, because I think in one of those episodes, maybe The Wizard, you said, oh, he's in Baby Genius. Mm. Okay.
Well, do you know who else stuck out to me? Was Peter McNichol. Do you know what he's in?
No.
You a big Ghostbusters 2 fan, Trevor?
I don't think I've ever seen Ghostbusters 2.
Wow, infamous movie. Okay, yeah, I, a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about that movie. I don't mind it, but it's not great.
Yeah.
He's the guy who gets like possessed by the painting. But anyways, yeah, Baby Geniuses, it's just, what else can we say about it besides what we're going to talk about scene by scene later? It's just, it's notorious. Do you, I mean, but you said you don't think that this is one of the worst movies ever. Like, I know.
It's not the worst movie ever. It's one of them. I've seen a lot of bad movies, AJ. If you're talking about theatrically released movies, I've seen a lot of bad movies. Mm-hmm. I'd say this one probably gets a little bit of a pass just because of how stupid and odd it is. It's not boring now. It's just odd and for nobody. So I think you could probably, because it's for nobody and it's stupid and it's unintelligent, I think you could probably give it a lot of knocks on that. But I think watching it now versus the bad movies that we get now, I think this is more interesting to watch.
I also wouldn't say, I don't think this is for nobody. I think this movie is for kids between the age of like 6 and 8 or 5 and 8.
I can't imagine watching this at age 5 and 8 and being that entertained.
You and me are just different beasts, Trevor.
Yeah.
But I remember there was one scene in the movie, and I guess this is kind of moving already into nitpicks before we do the trailer and everything, but when Sly starts talking, he talks about, like, if you're trying to talk out of your ass. And I thought to myself, never mind, maybe this movie isn't for six-year-olds.
Yeah, well...
Because there's a good amount of language in this movie, too.
It's a good amount of language. I think more so the stuff with the adults talking is so boring, and there's a lot of it. It's maybe half the movie is adults talk.
Yeah, I was very checked out during those scenes when I was a kid. I always liked the scenes of, like, the round tables with babies.
And the jokes that the kids make are references that only adults would get. So they're never actually making jokes.
Yeah, they're just, like, there's just, like, a random moment where Sly is in the control room and he just says, oh, behave.
Yeah.
And I get that it's Austin Powers reference, but... It's. I feel like Brian.
Do you get
like,
it,
do Peter?
You get the
Peter. She didn't really set you up for that Austin Powers reference. Doesn't really make sense here. I'll have what she's having. That's better. And there's my obligatory Family Guy reference. I'm back, guys. Let's go.
You're back. Yeah. It is really just insert reference to something, and that's why I think this movie's unintelligent. Because I'm sitting there and like, oh yeah, that's a reference to Austin Powers. Oh, that's a Terminator reference. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Wait, what? This doesn't really work here, though. Like, he says hasta la vista, baby, as he's, like, getting in a car, meeting someone. Like, meeting someone new. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I did not get the O behave or the hasta la vista, baby, as a 6 or 7 or 8 year old or however old I was when I watched this.
And I think there's so many adult jokes or just things that they're saying that are bizarre. Like the first thing he says is when when Sly escapes is, where are the chicks?
Oh, I know. Yeah, there's
it's like, what?
There's a lot of that stuff in there.
Hello? You are 6 months old.
He's almost 2, actually.
He's almost 2, yeah. He's actually 6.
But before we jump into pros and cons and trailer and things like that, production-wise, this is kind of... I mean, I was looking at the history of this, and in 1999, by the time that the film came out, the brothers, it was triplets who played Sly and Wit, they were 5 and a half. And I'm like, there's no way in hell that they made this with like a 5 and a half year old. But they actually shot this over about 50 days in 1997. So this was just before... The kids were about... 3 and a half. So that made sense because you have to have them as like quote unquote babies, but they have to be able to walk and like listen to a few instructions for direction, like instruction enough.
Yeah.
And something that we'll talk about as we go on is like they got the babies, these infants and toddlers, to move around in a way that like at least sufficiently told a story. And in a way, it almost reminded me of like, an even more challenging approach to Little Rascals, because you had talked about this in that episode and talked about how, you know, how difficult like it must have been to have wrangled everybody under the age of 8.
It's difficult to wrangle, and also you have a lot of labor laws. So it took a lot of time because of the wrangling, because they probably thought they could get a little bit more done in a day because they thought kids could follow directions, but then they didn't. And also just labor laws. You can't film the same amount of time as an adult. And that's why they used, was it triplets or just literal twins? Which is kind of crazy that they had triplets.
Identical ones.
Yeah, identical ones. They looked similar.
But anyways, we've been talking about this for like 20 minutes. Do you want to jump into the trailer?
Yeah, play the trailer.
Let's do it.
Idiots.
For its 25th anniversary, here we go for Baby Geniuses.
They may look innocent.
Sprangly.
But if you think babies don't know what's going on, they're going to give you an education.
So what we hear is baby talk.
Tic-tac and social.
He's actually conversation.
I don't have a cow, Basil.
Your syntax is atrocious.
It's because he watches television all the time.
We just don't understand them. And if Dr. Kinder has her way, their genius will be her claim to fame.
Every child will be educated in the Kinder method.
He's out.
You idiots!
The story of what can happen when babies know too much, speak too well.
I gotta get a disguise.
Yeah.
And get a little too big for their diapers. Kathleen Turner, Christopher Lloyd, Kim Cattrall, and Ally McBeal's Peter McNichol. Baby Geniuses.
Have you said Dada yet?
Nah, that's so stupid.
Say it, you'll go nuts.
Okay.
Dada!
All right, Trevor, I would love to know, what are some positive thoughts you had about Baby Geniuses?
Well, it has a character named Ice Pick, who I thought was wildly silly and goofy, and I thought that was fun, who then becomes like a Tibetan monk at one point.
He was a funny character.
I did laugh my ass off the first time they brought up Ice Pick. I'm like, what the hell is this? It seems like they didn't know what to put in this movie when it wasn't generic evil company doing a thing, and then the baby's doing their thing. All the other stuff just seems like they didn't know what to do. It does not know how, this movie doesn't know how to get from point A to point B.
So it's funny you say that, because one of the things that I wanted to riff on a little bit is I don't think that this is in any ways like a groundbreaking or challenging script. But, I mean, you're someone who went to film school. I'm assuming you've taken a couple of script writing classes.
Sure.
Is this not just, like, a serviceable, like, workable script that if it had been in the hands of, like, a different director or a different production company if it were animated or something like that? This, to me, is just, like, a very clear, straightforward twins in a world where babies are geniuses.
Well,
that one's in the lab, one's at home. They have two different environments. They switch. They have to unswitch, stop the bad guys, reunite, and go home with a family. Like, to me, this is like a very standard, inoffensive, gets the job done movie script. Like,
no.
I don't see the
you
problem.
You think the script itself, or just the concept,
yes.
The structure? Which one?
Probably the concept itself and the structure. I think there are flaws, of course, in what happens. I think there's flaws in the ending. I think that there's flaws in, but I mean, and you can also point me in the right direction here to like clarify it, because again, you know more about this than I do, but is every single ad-libbed line, every single like directorial choice, like that can appear like it's part of the script because it's words that are said and referenced, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they were in the script as intended. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's fair. I think more so what you can find the script is the set pieces and the sequences, right? Like,
right. Well, I would say except for the ending and a couple of like the more childish beat for beats. I would say like structurally, I don't think this is like a terrible offensive concept or story. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
It's not a terrible concept, but the execution from the script to directing to editing and everything is terrible. So you come up with a pitch saying, hey, in a world where babies are geniuses, we have these or it's not even that they're genius. It's not, that's the problem. Like, I'm explaining it, but well, that's not even necessarily the movie. Okay, let's just say we have babies and there's a theory that babies can secretly communicate with each other. Like, if I was going to give you a pitch, if I said babies can communicate with each other under a certain age, and once you get older and you start to learn the adult world, like Rugrats, essentially, like right. Rugrats the movie, and there's a company that decides, that discovers this and is trying to use it for some evil reason, and the babies have to stop it. That's how you're selling a company, a studio. That's how you're selling people on this concept. That's not awful concept. I think as soon as you start to dig deeper, though, it gets worse and worse. And once someone, I don't think there's a way to take this to a script and make it really good, unless it's like a Rugrats or a cartoon. A live action version of this, I don't really see working. I don't see how this could be entertaining or fun or interesting for any age group without going super hard in one direction. And parts of the script are what would be in the script is the settings and the set pieces and basically like the plot structure. What happens at this point? What happens at this point? What happens at this point? Things like that. And creating characters, basically adding everything, including lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't think anything is really interesting. Like the main conflict, I don't really know the stakes aside from that this company has children, but it makes it like so evil that they're like being prisoners. And I don't know whether this company is like, what is the Kinder Method? Do we even know what the Kinder Method is aside from them being in this locked down environment?
Basically, I think their ultimate goal is to devise an education system that maximizes the potential out of these kids before they cross over. Because, you know, you kind of said, oh, they're not really geniuses. Like, they are, at least in this world, they're geniuses. They know things that they simply should not without having the educational backgrounds. They kind of write that off and say, Peter McNichol's character, the dad, talks about how there's this theory that you inherit everything from your prior life 2 years right. into, so, you know, for the first 2 years. So that's where the genius angle comes in. And I think your question about, like, what are they trying to do? I think they're trying to, like, basically become an education domination and, you know, use these kids to do, like, an A-B test. Or that's for marketing. What's, like, a test? Like, a control group versus an experimental group.
An experiment. Yeah. They're trying to do psychological.
I'm in marketing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's an experiment. I mean, it is basically an experiment. It's a study.
Yeah.
Is probably what you're looking for. A study. My issue is, they say that the company Baby Co. or whatever it's called, Baby Tech, Baby Co., Info Baby, I don't know what the fuck it's called. They are trying to select specific babies from orphanages that they create. They have like orphanages they've created, and they are selecting babies specifically that have the potentials to be geniuses. Mm-hmm. Where the theory that's explained is, all babies are geniuses before the age of 2. We just can't understand their language. So that's what I'm confused about, and I don't get. The actual dad of Wit, the twins, or whatever, he's not even the dad. He's like the adopted father.
He's the adopted
father.
Dad, yeah.
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 He says that all babies communicate. You would, like, inherit universal knowledge or something. A totally preposterous idea. And like concept for this movie and stuff, so that all babies have this, but then some babies are just really stupid, and it doesn't. It says like you cross over into the adult world. So are all babies geniuses or only the ones in Baby Co? Because how come they can all communicate with each other?
I think the point that they were trying to make with Baby Co, and again, I know I'm reading into it and there's some inconsistencies, but I think that the idea behind Baby Co is like all babies are geniuses, but we're trying to maximize and prove how smart and what potentially they can give us. Like, you know, there's that scene where they do the piano, and it's like this really stupid scene of he looks kind of like Linus from Sharkboy and Lava Girl, but Basil, where Basil's like banging on the piano, and they like run it through all these different simulations, and it turns out that it's this secret masterpiece.
What is that terrible noise?
Noise to us. We've had the computers analyzing every possible permutation. What we hear as incoherent noise may actually be a musical masterpiece. Listen to our computer's interpretation of Basil's playing.
That's remarkable.
It has all the complexities of a symphony by Haydn or Beethoven.
Well, but if that's the case, it's possible that what we hear as baby talk is actually conversation.
I that bet is... they would probably, like, work with Basil or, like, give him the resources so he could compose this crazy beautiful masterpiece that if he were just raised outside of this method, either people wouldn't pick up on it or he might not be as effective in creating this masterpiece. I think that's all it's going for.
By the way, that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. They said he's banging on the keyboard and they, like, reverse engineer it. Like, if we analyze it using secret technology... with music or something, we can actually play it back, and it's all the workings of Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, and it's just a completely different song. Like, yes. Absolutely stupid. The stupidest thing in this movie, I think, might have been that scene. It was absolutely ridiculous. Cannot describe how that pissed me off so much, because it was just.
You're not
I get they're trying to do kind of techno babble and trying to explain this, but it was so stupid.
Yeah, again, you're not wrong, but that's why they have the brain scans. They're like, look at the strength of their brain activity. I think that's basically all it is. Let's move into some positives, because I do have a few things that I want to give some kudos. And one on the production side, I was talking about this a little before we played the trailer, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be so difficult and exhausting to try to get a kid to laugh on camera or look sad or to stare in a certain way where you know that you can, like, that their eyes look somewhat convincing, like they're saying something that you can go and superimpose the shot of them talking on it. You know, it's how many times did it take them for Basil to say, like, let's kick her butt, where he, like, shoots his hand up? Like, how long do they have to wait? How did they have to convince that? Like, that... I cannot imagine putting 8 3-year-olds in a circle and expecting them to behave in a way that you could put it on film and sell it commercially to the masses.
I give
some credit there.
Yeah, no, I don't, because it looks like they're having a hard time. It looks like they're having a hard time filming these kids. It doesn't look like they're directing a movie scene. It looks like they're filming kids playing, but the kids don't want to play with each other. It's really awkward and really bizarre.
Well, in the lab, feel like they're kids. They're not supposed in the lab. They're not supposed to play with each other. They're not supposed to be buddy buddy. But then, if you go to the daycare center or orphanage or whatever that place where the children are, that I still don't fully understand what the concept of it was. Like, they're all jumping up and down, like you mentioned when Sly was trying to train them to become warriors. Like, they were being friends. Like, I feel like that's naturally how you're going to get kids to act. But I mean. Aside from the words that they say and how they're saying it, which I concede is a huge part of making this movie convincing, just even the physicality of sit still versus walk in this direction versus run in this direction versus smile and light up your eyes versus seem scared versus look up and cry because you're sad. Like, there's a lot of scenes of that needing to happen and look really, really convincing. And I would say for the most part, it was convincing enough that they were able to keep the story going.
You are giving them too much credit for working with kids when a lot of movies work with kid actors. I want to give them no credits, because this may have been one of the worst done working with kid actors. You have a movie revolved around kids. You don't need them to act a certain way if you're using computer generation to make it look better. I think they overestimated how good the computer generation would look, and they just said, we can let the kids act however they want, but we will fix it later. It looks terrible. Look at something like Daddy Daycare, even. Daddy Daycare, the kids actually were acting and talking. There's actual scenes of the kids interacting and playing and stuff. I actually felt like they were kids. And this one, there's a mixture of being a kid or a super genius. Like, I don't know what they're, how, what are they supposed to be, an adult or a kid? That's what's confusing.
Well, there is a big difference between a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old, or a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. So
sure,
that I would say is a big difference there. I totally hear what you're saying, but I don't really think they were acting. I think you can't, how does a 3-year-old act? How does a 4-year-old act?
They were older.
The kids who were playing Sly and Wit were 3.5.
What?
This movie was filmed in early 1997, and they were born in late 1993. They were 3.5.
Okay.
So that's and I see what you so mean. That's where I yeah so I cut a little bit of grace there. It's so to your earlier point about they overestimated the effects and what they could do. 100% agree, and I think that's why even though they ended up finishing the filming here in 97, it took them 2 years to get this film to come out. It took them 2 years to really work their asses off and still not get something great out the door. But on top of that, they still had to get workable shots, camera angles to the point where they could piece this movie together narratively. This isn't like The Room, where they had to reuse the same sex scene again. Like, this, they had distinct shots of every time a kid had a reaction, or a kid laughed, or a kid cried, or a kid raised his hand, or a kid said something. I want to acknowledge that this wasn't, like, if it were that situation that I just described, I think this would be a 1-star movie, a 1/2-star movie. But because they were able to get enough that they could build these different shots, and even though it was a little janky, they still could tell a coherent story with the shots of kids doing different things. I just want to at least give some acknowledgement that they pulled that off with a bunch of people who were under the age of 4. Good job, Bob Clark. You did something there, Bob Clark.
I don't want to give them credit because they shouldn't have done that to begin with. And it doesn't look good. So, like, I can't give it credit based on how it looks is exactly how you said, oh, they had trouble doing it. I shouldn't watch a movie thinking by default about how this was made and what they had to do. But it's hard not to with this movie. If you don't care about how movies are made, you don't care about the magic, you're just a viewer, you want it to feel real. You want it to feel like you are experiencing something on screen. In the original things in cinema, if you don't know how movies work, like, this is the basic crux of cinema, is that it's supposed to look fluid. It's supposed to look like magic. When original motion pictures came out and you had a woman on screen and then someone snaps and she disappears, you're not supposed to know how that happens. Like, if you don't know how it works, it's supposed to look like, whoa, how'd they do that? You know, that was magic originally when things, origins of motion pictures. I am constantly thinking about how this looks. This feels like a home video.
I was about to say nothing that you said is incorrect, except for the end. I don't think that this looks like.
It really feels like someone is overdubbing, like, their kids and they're playing. Like, oh, isn't this funny? I made a movie. Look at them.
A little harsh.
I made this little YouTube. Yeah, that's what this movie feels like. Is it? I don't think people would disagree here.
I mean, they're going to lean more towards your side than mine, but I just want to give some acknowledgement. All right, I have a couple other pros I want to talk about.
Fine.
I liked Sly's character a lot. You know me. I like myself some resourceful, witty kids, and Sly just happens to know a lot of things. Now, sometimes it doesn't go his way. He gets his brother gets kidnapped twice in front of him. He isn't convincing to not Lexi, the other girl, the girl back at the daycare that's like Sly's adopted sister. So, like, he has flaws. He has areas where he can't
he's
pull off
dick.
What he wants to do. But I think he's a cool character. I like watching him try to figure things out and try to escape and try to outsmart people. I like him.
I think he's a huge dick.
Yeah, he kind of is, but I like
him.
He
is.
He knows karate.
Yeah, just, again, this is just so unbelievable. The fact that that's, like, in the first scene and it doesn't look good. Who watches the first 5 minutes of that movie and is like, oh my God, that was amazing. He touches the adults and they kind of just, like, do what would happen if someone actually did the move.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a rehearsal. It was just so bad. That's that.
Do you like his character
sequence.
Otherwise, or do you just hate? His, think he's a dick?
No, I liked Wit's character a lot more.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, Wit was like actually kind of nice and felt like a kid. Sly did not feel like a kid at all, and I was still slightly confused by the fact that they said that they were geniuses, but not like they're still kids. So they should still have some kind of kid emotions, like what generally kids fear and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, like psychologically, like early childhood development, that kind of stuff. And Sly had like none of that.
You're right. We see a lot of kids crying. We never see Sly cry.
We never see Sly show any like childhood thing. And I guess what happens at the end of the movie, I guess, is he get to, besides us rewatching the movie again at the end of the movie.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
Do we get to? Does he cross over? Does he become like a normal person?
Yeah. They show that at the end. Because Sly and Wit both cross over at the same time, and because they mentioned that their sister is 6 months younger than they are. Mm-hmm. So at the last scene when they're outside and the dad's talking to him, they're like, "Oh no, they crossed over." And then they look at the dad, and the dad says, "Can you tell me the secrets of the universe?" And she just kind of shakes her head, no. So she hasn't crossed over yet, but they have.
So it's not that, again, so it's not that Sly is a super genius, or he's a super genius because he's a baby. Like, I can't get beyond that concept. Or that they're utilizing, they're maximizing the super genius skills of babies or something.
Yeah. It's a little half-baked.
Say it's a quarter-baked.
Yeah, okay, it's quarter baked, but it wasn't enough for me to like hate the movie. And I feel like I'm like emphatically defending this movie. This is not
you
a good
are.
Movie. This is not a good movie. But
you
I just like it more than
defendant.
Most people do. I look at my letterbox, it has a bad rating.
You gave it a 2.5 initially. That's
you challenged me and I accepted and I bumped it down to a 2.
2 is still not like
because
bad.
I don't think that this is a god awful movie.
Okay, so one positive I will say, I think the concept of the babies having a secret language and stuff isn't a bad idea. It's somewhat of an interesting concept because in Rugrats, that's what happens. The babies can talk to each other. They can communicate. They can do their little adventures. But Rugrats does it in a way better, obviously, because part of it is like they have their imagination adventures. I also like how Angelica can kind of understand both of them. Understand the adults and the kids, and we don't get like any characters that can do both of that except for the dad at the end,
right? And that's because he tries really hard. He's very connected to his inner child,
but like he almost, the way they explain it, he said, oh, if you look in slow motion, they're actually just saying things super fast, or I think that's what he said, like if you slow it down. I heard him say that, but the baby Christopher Lloyd says they're speaking a dead language that they somehow know. So they're both of their science is different, but they're both saying the same thing. It's so ridiculous. But I don't think that concept is bad.
Yeah.
I actually thought that stuff is like an interesting concept because we've seen it done well in Rugrats. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting to try and scientifically explain it and have a serious concept. So I'll see you there. There's a couple of funny jokes I actually did laugh at, but they're more adult stuff.
Okay, you can hit
me with
them.
Some of it is just, well, okay, the one joke I actually thought was a good joke is the dad at the daycare is trying to show them what was said. I'm like, can't you hear them talking? And then Ice Pick, what's his name? Ice Pick is like, yeah, there it is, plain English. Blah, 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 blah.
There it is, plain English.
Look, I know it sounds like baby talk, but he is saying by a factor of 4 at least.
That's a very Trevor-approved joke.
I cracked the fuck up at that. That was so funny.
Well, I'm glad I got some laughs out of you. I laughed at the Forbidden Zone scene.
What happened? Sly kicked him right in the Forbidden Zone. Oh!
There were two sequences that made me laugh here. Number one was when Sly jumps on the ski and kicks the guy in the balls. And he falls down, and all the kids ask, what happened? And one of them says, Sly kicked him in the Forbidden Zone.
Oh, okay.
Thought that was pretty funny.
the where he's and like, then, you think I'm gonna make a funny face and fall down.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, is they say the exact same thing twice. And I don't know. I thought that repetition in this scene worked really well, where one of the goons comes in, says what you were saying, Sly does the trick, and then the second guy comes in and says the exact same thing. You think I'm gonna jump over here and make a funny face and fall backwards. And I just thought it was funny that they had the exact verbatim lines.
Now, I guess you expect me to step over this ski and then you'll jump on the end, and then the end will jump up and hit me in the gonads, and I'll scream and make a funny face and fall down the stairs. Is that right? Huh. Well, I think you've been seeing too many bad movies, pal. Because I'm just gonna step around this ski. Just how stupid do you think I am?
Pretty stupid. Gee, I bet that felt good.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't laugh. I was like, oh, they're trying to set up a joke here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the quote jokes are not really jokes. They're stupid references. Unfunny things. What else did you like here?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I got.
There's a few like adult jokes again that I saw that are funny, but we'll get to those later.
Okay, we can do that.
I know I've been already kind of talking about things I did not like. Can we keep doing that?
I mean,
it's more fun.
It happens. I've been doing the same.
You know what? Actually, I do find one other thing interesting. There was some of the. Did you ever see that movie Three Identical Strangers documentary?
I have not.
You've heard of it, right?
Yes.
It was like a real psychological study where they separated three triplets at birth and put one with like a sort of poor family, one with a middle class family, one with a very, very rich family. And they kind of studied them and compared them without knowing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they met later and stuff. I think that kind of concept is interesting at the psychological level. I don't think necessarily it's moral or whatever, but the fact that they were kind of doing something like that, like knowing about this concept that people have done, is, I think, really interesting. But it's like they were going to compare him at age 6. I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. The setup to this. Okay. Yeah. Info dump. But yeah, that's an interesting concept, I guess.
All right. I think that was interesting, too.
Cool. So that's like the.
That's everything good we ever have to say about this movie.
Yes.
All right. Let's shift over to some not good things about it. Trevor, what have you not talked about not liking about this movie, if that makes any semblance of sense?
The amount of poop, diaper, burping, farting, just potty humor jokes in this movie. And I'm surprised you gave it this high of a score when you gave Daddy Daycare such a lower score in criticism for it.
Well, you know, the scene that actually pissed me off the most here was the nose-picking scene. That's where I was like, this is my absolute least favorite part of the movie.
When they hypnotized him?
Yeah.
How did they hypnotize him? I missed how they hypnotized
him. Because Sly knows how to hypnotize people.
Oh,
so
it's just that he knows how to hypnotize?
I'm pretty sure that he knows everything. He's a genius.
Okay, and he has infinite knowledge. So doesn't everyone else have infinite knowledge too?
You're not wrong. Let's talk about the effects a little bit.
Sure.
They're not. No, they are awful. They're awful. I was about to say they're not awful, but they are awful. I mean, they're like a 2 out of 10, maybe a 3 out of 10. What blows my mind is that they're going to go out of their way to superimpose an animated mouth over a non-talking child's face, and they just couldn't, for whatever reason, get the words to match the mouth.
Yes. Never once did I think this effect looked good or accurate. It always looked terrible and odd, and it never worked, huh?
So here's a question: if they had like solidified it and gotten that to work, would that have upped the movie's if just the words matched what they said with their mouths, would that have upped the movie's rating for you at all?
I don't know. It's hard to imagine it. Here's the problem is I think it would feel weirder because when you're that young, you can't speak like that. So I think no matter what, it would look uncanny. Hey, do you ever, you know those commercials where the babies, it's like, I think an insurance commercial, the babies are like talking and they have really deep voices and it, the lips actually do move. It looks uncanny and that's why it's funny.
Yeah, yeah, like the E-Trade baby.
Okay, the E-Trade baby. Yeah, yeah. It would look like that, but for 90 minutes. So I think it would look bizarre and I don't know if I could take it 100% seriously. So in a way, I think almost having it not look correct is doing it a favor. But I think it's sort of the lesser of two options, like the lesser of two terrible options here, or the better of, you know what I mean?
That's weird. You want it to be more incorrect or less correct.
I think so.
In order to
look better. That's what I'm saying.
I think I'd rather their words match their mouths, but I guess that's just me. You know what always fucking pissed me off as a kid?
What?
About this movie? The fact that they used the same laugh for Sly and Wit 12 times. And they would often do it like twice in the course of 1 minute. You know what laugh I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, why don't you do it?
No, but I'll play it here. I don't get why they couldn't have captured like two more laughs and just mixed it up a little bit. It was the same laugh over and over again. And it's an obnoxious, weird, foreign, alien sounding laugh. It sounds like it shouldn't be making that sound.
It's like it is a forced kid laugh, which doesn't sound good. It sounds bizarre, as we've seen.
We talked about this in the opener, the diaper gravy, the fact that that was said not only once, but four times in the course of a minute and a half.
Diaper gravy. Well, give me liberty or give me death. Not exactly aromatherapy.
I've never even heard of the term diaper gravy until this movie, so I wasn't sure if they were trying to make something happen or if Bob Clark called it that in his household. I don't know, but it was said frequently, and then on top of that, it was the same intonation. Like they just took the line diaper gravy and said it three times in the course of 1 minute with that same sound snip.
Yeah, that I have never heard that before, but maybe if you read one of those like baby books, it says, you know, you don't want them to have diaper gravy all day long. You want to clean that up. Maybe if you enter a parent class when you're having a baby or you're expecting, they'll say things like that. That's like a meme between parents. I'm not a parent. None of us are parents right now, so we don't know if that's a thing that they say.
What about you, Trevor? What are some things that you also did not enjoy?
This movie makes me not want to have kids ever. you just took a drink and you almost spit it out.
I almost
spit laugh on that one.
Wow, yeah, I was not expecting that.
the acting from the adults is terrible. They're really honing it in there.
Okay, so let's talk about that then. What was the performances that really stuck out to you as sucky?
Kathleen Turner.
I don't think it was a bad performance. I just don't think it was a good performance.
Well, that means the same for me here.
I suppose bad is
the same here.
Yeah, very semantics. I thought it was a slightly below average performance, but I wouldn't give it a Razzie.
You would not get? Did she get a Razzie here for this?
It didn't get any Razzie nominations.
I know the Razzies are whatever. They're like, I don't know if we should support the Razzies because movies are hard, blah, 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 blah. But I do think that the acting generally, it left so much to be desired, especially from the adults. I think this movie might have worked a little bit better if the adults were at least serviceable. But I don't even think they're serviceable. I think this is examples of bad acting in a movie, you know?
Again, not good acting.
That's my opinion.
And you have the correct opinion, I think, on this one. I already talked about the hypnosis scene. even as a kid, I really did not like the staying alive scene. And not because of the montage or anything like that, but specifically the effects that they put over the guy who does Disco's face. You know what I'm talking about? Where they get, like, it's so clear they filmed him in one camera, and then the Saturday Night Live or whatever Disco
part?
Thing.
The montage the where he's getting dressed?
Yeah. I didn't mind the montage.
Oh, I did.
I minded the scene where he does Staying Alive, and they put him on a disco dance floor, and they have, like, a different coloring to his face over someone's body. It looks like those Jib Jab or, like, Elf Yourself cartoons from back in the day. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but I...
You've never done Elf Yourself?
I don't know what that is. No, sorry.
Okay, so you probably saw it on Facebook. Most people know what I'm talking about here. But, like, you would like, upload a picture of someone's face, and they had, like, pre-animated dances as elves. And it would look like your face would move as all of, the, like, the elves would do their little dance moves in, like, a viral video. Or, like, it was, like, make your own... Look up Elf Yourself. You're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's so out of place to have, like, a random different colored face on this moving background of a disco shot.
Yeah, I'll look it up later. But I think that another thing, I didn't like that montage at all. That was terrible.
Thought it was cute.
I probably would have found it cute if this movie was a little bit less mean-spirited. But I think it's just very, like, the jokes are very mean-spirited. Not that they really, they're not, like, offensive, you know? They're not punching down or anything. But the humor is not good. It's not, like, honest humor. They don't set up jokes. It's a lot of references. And that scene doesn't really work because the baby is just getting dressed up in different crazy costumes, not stuff that they would find from that store. They're in, like, a Nordstrom, and they're getting dressed up in a cowboy suit and something that you would find at a Party City.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Another thing I didn't like. This is very, very random. I do want to talk more about the references that the kids are saying and a lot of the things they say. At one point, they were talking about, like, Pavlov's dog and all that stuff. And it is such a disconnect when the kids are making references to concepts and like pop culture references that the target demographic would not get. I don't think you could ask a 5-year-old who Pavlov was and they'd know who that is. It makes sense when you're making a movie about, like, a psychological study, kind of. Oh yeah, that's cool. Throw in one of the most famous ones ever. But it doesn't make sense here. Like, if they make a joke about the Stanford Prison Experiment, that might be funny, but it doesn't really make sense given the target demographic, especially if the kids make a joke about it. Like, the kids are saying, oh yeah, we're in, like, the Stanford Prison Experiment. Another thing I do want to call out is halfway through the movie, that's when the twins switch. There is so much setup that the actual plot doesn't start until 45 minutes through. And I paused it to check. 45 minutes on the dot is when they see each other. It's crazy. I really think the structure of this movie is broken. And that's why
I disagree with you. Did you want it to get going faster? You wanted them to switch at, like, half an hour?
Yeah. Half an hour.
See, to me, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me because there was there was a lot of stuff around his escape. They made a big deal about how long it took him to escape. And his building the gadgets and, like, going from the diapers to the trash to the homeless guy to the mall to, like, from the carriage. Like, and I feel like there was a lot of moving pieces there that they ate up their time pretty well.
I think they ate up their time not very well. You could have done that in a couple minutes. Also, he escaped the first time, and that scene took a long time. And then you had a whole long sequence at, what was it? It was called Joy World, the thing that they filmed in Vegas. Yeah. I think that took up so much time. Why was that baby in the amusement park? It had, like, the deepest voice ever.
Yeah, it was weird. And I guess that ties in something else I hated. I just didn't like the ending. That was, like, crazy kids swinging from ropes and, you know, I just didn't like the ending. And animatronics going all over the place. Wasn't for me. Wasn't good.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I 100% agree. And I think that leads into another major complaint I've had is very clearly while we're at this amusement park, the first, you know, 10, 15 minutes of the movie, I immediately think this is where we're going to have the climax. This is where the final showdown is going to be. Obviously, I'm correct because how could it not be? And it was so anticlimactic and so cinematically stupid and lacking of any actual interest. And I think part of it is because they can't control where the kids are. They had to be really specific. So it looked really uninteresting. Like you have some of the kids doing cool things, like babies doing cool things. You always talk about how you want kids to do cool things. This mm-hmm. is Babies Do Cool Things, the movie. And mm-hmm. This is the scene where you could have them do the coolest stuff. And they just don't do anything interesting. I can't tell where anything is. The editing's all over the place. I don't get the setting very well. I don't understand the space. And I think that's what makes me not like the stakes. You know when you don't understand what a space looks like? You don't. I think it personally limits how you can appreciate something. When someone's fighting on top of something and you don't know how high it is, you don't feel the stakes. You're emotionally disconnected. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it makes sense. I won't argue with you sure. here. I think that this is devoid of any excitement or fun or comeuppance or satisfaction. It was not that great of an ending by any stretch.
Great. We agree. We're on the same track. You hate this movie. Mm-hmm. AJ Beltis, big defender of baby geniuses.
You know, what I want to look at here, you know what? Never mind. I'm going to save that for the final verdict.
Okay.
But I do have something to back up my specific rating on this movie. But let's anything else, or do you want to... you talked about this earlier, playing the hits. I hate it, 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 hate it. What? When movies do like a fucking clip show at the end of the movie, reminding you of all the scenes that you just watched. I hate it. I can't stand it.
The clip show.
I fucking hate it so much. And I mean, I don't know what else I can say, but it's like, I just watched the movie. I was there. I saw it. This wasn't like a series finale of a TV show. This was 45 minutes ago. This was 20 minutes ago. This was 5 minutes ago. I remember what it looks like. And I didn't like it when this movie does it. And I don't like it when Are We There Yet does it. I don't like it when any movie does this. It just hate it so much.
It was like, it was so weird and random. Because they half the stuff they showed wasn't in the movie that I remember. Or it wasn't significant enough for me to remember. Like, oh yeah, I remember when he did that. They had the moment where he stole from like the homeless person. And then he had a moment where he's just hanging out with his sister. Like that. So is what they're saying that they lose their memory of everything but from now until then, like instantly?
Oh, no, that's what they're saying. I think that they just wanted to tack on another 60 seconds to their runtime, and so they just did that.
No, I think that they're trying to metaphorically say that. I just don't understand how...
They weren't trying to metaphorically say shit, Trevor. Now you're defending.
This is the guy who made one of the most beloved Christmas movies of all time. And he's making a movie for nobody here. Where The Christmas Story, I'd say, is for everybody. This movie is for no one.
A Christmas Story has its detractors. It's not a flawless movie. And I actually think a lot of parts of that movie, despite me personally liking it, a lot of parts of that movie are not good. A lot of parts of A Christmas Story are just bad and cringy.
Agreed,
and
but it's a lot of like people love it.
A lot of people love it. And I remember I was watching it with... my mom, my dad, and my aunt one time, and they hadn't seen it in years. And my aunt just like was like, "All right, sorry, I got to get home." And she texted my mom afterwards. She's like, "I couldn't watch one more minute of that movie."
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
Anyways,
anything else you want to say about this? There's a lot more I could probably say, but
oh, please go to town.
At one point, they're defending Dr. Kinder, but she's treating them all like criminals and keeping them captive. Away from like a loving household until they're six.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that this is a super method to, you know, a method to raise them. It's the Kinder method, all that kind of stuff. But they're being held captive. They're wearing like prisoner outfits. They're treated like criminals if they step out of line. And Dr. Kinder mentioned they're going to go to prison if they... So they clearly are breaking tons of laws and rules doing this. So it just was weird that any of the babies at any point were defending her, because Dr. Kinder doesn't make it clear for the babies that she's on their side. She just says it's for the work.
You really only have Basil is the only one, and then he ends up turning around. It's like, wait, he's not, like, going back? And that's where he's like, oh, yeah, fuck this bitch.
So they're not geniuses, they're idiots, because they're getting duped by it.
Listen, he's like, I'm willing to sacrifice my first 2 years of my life for the greater good. I bet that's probably what he's thinking. And then what he realizes that she's kind of heartless, he's like, okay, never mind. I think that shows growth, Trevor.
Yeah,
growth.
Well, he should know. Because they're geniuses. They should know everything.
Absolutely. What else you got?
I mentioned a bunch of things I wrote down all at the same time. The clip show really showed some parts. They chose to show some of the worst things ever. There was two moments I'll call out here. They had a Joy to the World needle drop that I thought was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
When she says, I think the sister says dada. She's saying like dada, and they have a Joy to the World needle drop. Very hysterical. Yeah. And then there's a very, very non specific riff that's very clearly Mission Impossible when he's escaping,
as he was like kind of escaping,
building a scrambler out of a cassette player and like something else.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Very funny. What else you got?
All right, that's it for my negatives. Let's move on to best adult joke.
Sweet, let's do it.
Take off your clothes, okay, Slick, but at least you could buy me dinner first. But I know you don't like that part, so rescinded.
Next. Wait, what
How
are
about
we doing?
You? Any adult jokes? No?
Oh, adult jokes? Oh, yeah. Dennis Rodman can afford to look like roadkill. He gets 18 rebounds a game. Cannot believe they put that in here.
So for those of you who don't know who Dennis Rodman is, Trevor will now explain what that joke meant.
Have you ever seen a picture of Dennis Rodman?
So for those of you who have never seen a picture of Dennis Rodman, Trevor will now explain what Dennis Rodman looks like.
He just he has a very specific aesthetic. He has a lot of piercings. He has a lot of wacky glasses. A lot of his actual outfits are crazy. He was a basketball player.
Yeah.
He was a very, very, very famous and very good basketball. Yeah, just Google Dennis Rodman and you'll see it. But he's known also for kind of looking a little wacky and out there. And
he's married to Carmen Electra.
Yeah. Yeah. So just so you know, like that, I thought that joke was kind of bizarre and absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
And an adult joke. I don't think kids would get, but the adults would.
I didn't get it.
The basketball watching adults do, or pop culture. He's like well known though. I feel like you probably.
I've heard the name before. Put it that way. I've definitely heard the name before.
Okay.
All right, next is member berries. What member berries do you have for baby geniuses, Trevor?
Well, I wasn't a baby genius, so nothing.
All right, I'll go through a couple. Oh, go ahead.
One I had is that there was a very specific cassette player that he tore apart to make the scrambler. Mm-hmm. That I had that cassette player. I remember that cassette player specifically. And it's hard to say because a lot of these moments, like, oh, what do I remember? This is a really weird movie because there's a lot of things. Sometimes I go member berries. Oh, when there are kids in the subject of the movie, sometimes a member berries, it's fun to say, I remember when I did that, but I don't remember doing any of this stuff because I was too young to remember doing a lot of these things. And I don't have a whole lot of memories with this specific movie. Although I do remember very specifically, the TV spot had a moment where Wit was like, you know, he does like a little roll on the ground. Yeah. That specific clip was in one of the TV spots.
No kidding. You remember that from 99?
I remember that.
You remember that from 99? Or maybe it was like a TV airing.
Yeah. It was a TV airing. Like a few years after that.
Yeah, it was going to be like 2002 or something. Trevor's pulling out like TV commercial history from when he was 3.5. He's a baby genius. He had already crossed over too. Anything else?
No, that's all I really got. Tell me some, and maybe it'll spark some memories. But that's like all I really wrote down.
All right. So Sly and Wit were voiced by an actor named Miko Hughes. I think I've mentioned him on the show before, but he played Aaron in Full House. He played Gage in Pet Sematary. He played like the de-aged Doppler in Clockstoppers in the final shot. So he's been in a bunch. Like if you saw his face, you'd know exactly who this kid is. He was in Mercury Rising, a Bruce Willis movie. But yeah, he was like an established child actor. Like if you've seen Full House, you know exactly who this kid is.
Wait, and, who is this?
Miko Hughes, Miko Hughes.
Yes. Oh my God, yep. I know him. Yeah.
So he did the voice. I remember my brother and I would always get really frustrated over the way the mom says ice cream. She's like, I gave him a few sips, like scoops of my ice cream at the mall. And I was like, it's ice cream.
Yeah, I gave him a couple of slurps of my ice cream and he just went nuts. Dan, come out here.
Yeah! It's not ice cream.
It's not ice cream.
You're emphasizing the wrong words. It's Leviosa, not Leviosa. And the last one is I was watching this movie with my mom and I showed her the joke where it was like they were doing the crossword and one of the clues is like Miss Muffet sat on this and is like a tuffet. And the wife looks over to the husband and says, what the hell is a tuffet? And I was like, that's funny. My mom's like, why do you only laugh at jokes if they swear? And I'm like, oh, sorry. I guess I'm being a bad little Irish Catholic boy for laughing at the word hell.
I actually did note that scene where they're on the bed, that was like an actual scripted scene where I felt like two characters were interacting in a comedy movie. They're like, what the hell is a tuffet? Or what did Miss Muffet sit on? A tuffet.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe universal knowledge would help out. Oh yeah, this is like they scripted this. They made a joke. They're interacting. I felt like that was an actual scene in a movie I was watching.
Yeah. I knew that I liked that scene as a kid for a reason. We skipped over drinking game though, Trevor. What's your drinking game?
I mean, there's tons of things you could do that I thought of. Like anytime there's ADR, when there's voiceover ADR of not just like the kids, but you hear the voice when you don't see their face. There's tons of that version when the adults are walking. There's a lot of long tracking shots of adults in a car or when they're walking, and they clearly did not have a good script or terrible audio, so they just recorded it after, and it doesn't feel like it's part of the scene. Moment like that. Anytime a kid makes a reference to something that they wouldn't understand, so whether that's a reference or a joke to a movie, or they're talking about a concept that they wouldn't know about, physics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime they reference universal knowledge or baby speak, that's an option. So
you want to narrow that down for me, friends?
Yeah, I think I'd like the one where anytime the kid references something that, like a reference, whether it's a pop culture reference or a joke or something above their pay grade, something above their age.
Fair enough. I just had Chug every time Sylvester and Wit do their little laugh. Their evil, like,
how many times do they do the laugh?
Like 8.
Is it that many?
But it's enough that I just want to be drunk and forget about this movie's existence when it happens. Outside of that, we have how do we make this in 2024? So I wouldn't be opposed to like an animated version of this, especially if they polished up the script and the logistics of how much of geniuses are these babies. But my only request is that Jacob Tremblay voice Sly and Wit.
Well, AJ, you're in luck because there was an animated TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not see it?
It's my favorite show from childhood.
Wait, really?
It's called Rugrats.
No, they made an animated TV show about this.
They didn't.
Yes, they did.
Holy shit, they did.
They did.
Wow.
Someone didn't do their research.
Apparently not. Holy shit. Wow.
So now you can...
26 episodes, but it's not animated.
Oh, is it not?
Baby Genius is BSI. Instead of CSI, it's BSI. I get it.
Baby Geniuses. Is it not animated? I thought it was animated. Baby Squad Investigator.
Holy, yeah, holy moly. They have I didn't realize that there was just a franchise. Mystery of the Crown Jewels, The Space Baby, Treasures of Egypt.
Tons.
Oh my God. I had no idea. There's a fucking franchise.
There's tons of these old tons of these 2014. Little baby movies.
This is worse than Air Buddies. What the hell is this?
This is pretty bad. Dude, the Baby Geniuses and the Treasures of Egypt has the exact font from Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Maybe I'll watch that one. I was supposed to go to Egypt last year, but...
Maybe you will watch that. Don't watch that. Come on. Treat yourself better than that.
Yeah, that's fair. So where are they now? I looked it up. The three kids either were into ice hockey at one point or are still into ice hockey. So the Sly Wit, the three triplets are ice hockey people.
Come on the show, everybody. Come watch with us.
Final verdict here, Trevor. Do you think that the makers of this movie are geniuses, or is this movie diaper gravy?
This movie is complete and utter diaper gravy. I can't think of a single person to recommend this to. Just terrible. This movie is for nobody, and no one would enjoy this. So I of course do not recommend Baby Idiots, any of the Baby Genius crap movies. I will instead recommend something else that's for babies, but it's something I just watched. It's one of the shows I've been watching just to pass some time. We're moving into the new place and we had something light. It's if you want a surreal cartoon, I don't know who the target demographic is for, and it's very weird. Definitely not for you, AJ, but Bein' Puppy Cat is on Netflix, and I recommend it if you like cartoons that are a little bit more mature, but also kiddie and goofy and wacky that you can throw on every once in a while. I just watched that season that's on Netflix. It used to be a web show. There's supposed to be maybe more seasons, but I would love some more seasons because I had a good time watching it.
Nice. I am also going to say that this is not diaper gravy, but it's definitely some diaper content. So I'm going to pass on Baby Geniuses. Genuinely, though, I was surprised that I did not outright despise this movie. And to my earlier point that I said I was going to save this for the final verdict, I on Letterboxd right now have this as a 2 out of 5, which is 40%. Roger Ebert gave this a 1.5 out of 4, and that is a 37.5%. So, Raj and I are pretty fucking close on this one, okay? We're pretty fucking close. I just want to throw that out there. And, you know, if you have any gripes with me, you have those same gripes with Roger Ebert. But yeah, I'll just recommend Rugrats in Paris instead. A great movie about childhood and babies doing crazy outlandish things. And a movie that brought me great joy when we revisited it a couple of years ago. I had an awesome time rewatching that.
That was a good time.
Rugrats in Paris. That also contained references to an R-rated movie in The Godfather Part 2 that went entirely over my head as a child.
Yeah, but it's still a fine scene, right?
Yeah. It's still like me on the day of my daddy's wedding.
The scene still worked.
Yeah.
In Rugrats in Paris. I know it's a reference. Well, it's a reference to Godfather Part 1, not Part 2.
Yeah, but the opening shot is like Rugrats 2, and it's like the 2 from like The Godfather Part 2. But you're right. The scene is from The Godfather, but the title sequence is from Godfather Part 2.
A weird choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, great movie. I kind of want to watch that because it makes
Rugrats
me really happy
in Paris.
That movie exists. It's so good.
I gotta do some more Rugrats but, stuff.
I mean, is Rugrats Go Wild this year for, was it 2004 or 2005?
No.
2003. Oh, we missed our window.
No, but we could still do it at some point.
You can, yeah. But we got a lot of anniversary movies this year, and I'm choosing next week's, or 2 weeks from now's episode, and I'm going to stick with this idea of doing 25th anniversary movies. I was going to do it in January for its proper 25th anniversary, but we had a couple things going on to preclude us from doing that, me leaving the country for a month being the prime example of that. But I'm going to make sure that we do another slightly more obscure movie that I know has some diehard loyal fans. And it's a movie about five friends who team up and try to save one of their friends' dads. And the last names of this crew of teenagers start with the letters P, U, N, K, and S. And together, that creates the name of their group that they unite behind to save the day. So,
is it also the name of the movie?
We're going to be watching that movie, which is one of my absolute favorite movies from childhood. And Trevor, this will this will almost complete our Sean McNamara. At least this will complete my trilogy of him. Between this, Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain, and Casper Meets Wendy, these were three core tenets of my childhood. And I'm very excited to talk about this one with you.
I've never even seen it. I've never even heard of this movie until you brought it up with me for the show. So excited to watch it. I did think at one point you were talking about a different movie that we're going to be doing later when you were saying kids rescuing a parent.
Yes, the dad.
Like, oh, we're doing that one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's also that's the 20th anniversary. We'll be doing that this year for sure. Yes. And don't worry, Trevor, you can watch this movie that I just mentioned on the streaming service Tubi.
Oh, yeah. That's another reason why you shouldn't watch this movie is you either have to pay to rent it or have the DVD, Baby Geniuses. Yeah. So it's just if you have Netflix still, if you haven't cut the cord on Netflix yet, you can watch Bee and Puppy Cat on Netflix.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Old Kids Movies. Thank you one and all for listening to our 25th anniversary spectacular on Baby Geniuses. You can follow us on Twitter at Old Kids Movies, on Instagram at The Old Kids Movies. Oh, and don't forget, we are on Patreon. And if you join our Patreon at the upper level, you will get a bonus episode every single month in addition to shoutouts in all of our episodes. And this week, we are going to give shoutouts to our current top-tier patrons. Those people are Emil, Steven Schinder, Trevor Sprouse, Ray Munoz, and Ben Franke. Guys, thank you so much for everything that you have done, and we appreciate you being patrons of the Old Kids Movies. We will see you in 2 weeks for a brand new episode right here on the Old Kids Movies. Thanks for listening.